8 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
And live from our national studios here in Accra, and also networking with all our regional FM stations, together with functioning on the World Wide Web at gdcghana.com, we say welcome to Behind the News, our news and current affairs program, where we get to speak the news to the newsmakers and the experts. My name is Kingsley Obinchere. For tonight, Progressive People's Party confirms Dr. Indom as presidential candidate with our Congress, and he says he'll be doubling government revenue. How will this be done? The debate about NDC's achievement over the past 3 years continue. Who is getting it right? And also, riding the security challenges in the biometric voter registration, IGP meets EC chairman. What will be the new strategy? We'll be getting to all these issues. It's Behind the News, and you are getting us live on Sunrise FM Koforidua and also on Ubuni 96.5 FM. As usual, we'll be welcoming your comments, contributions, and all that you have to tell us in relation to the program and the issues we are discussing. The line is 026-441-8767. 026-441-8767. Up north, you are getting us live on Ura Radio, together with Radio Savannah and also Radio Upper West. The Progressive People's Party has confirmed Dr. Kwesi Ndum as its presidential candidate for the 2012 elections. The confirmation coincided with the election of the party's constituency officers in all the 230 constituencies. Dr. Ndum has joined us in the studio to tell us more about the confirmation process and related issues prior to the 2012 general elections. Dr. Kwesi Ndum, you are warmly welcome once again to Behind the News.
Well, thank you and good evening.
Many are saying it is not surprising at all that you've been confirmed, because you started the process to be the candidate and you've become, so it is no news. Do you share their sentiment?
Well, I don't, but I will explain. First of all, our people are excited, our people are encouraged, they are well motivated, and as I was driving here, been getting many phone calls from our people from all over the country saying it's been a great day. Not just because I have been confirmed as the presidential candidate, but number one, the enthusiasm with which they went through to also deal with the constituency elections today happening all over the country. It's been wonderful. And you know, there's something unique about our process.
Mm-hmm.
Our party does not go to a single central congress to elect national officers or presidential candidate. Our constitution says we go to a convention to explain party policy, laws, regulations, and so on and so forth. But when it comes to elections, every card-carrying member who is paid up is entitled to vote in his or her constituency. And so as we are sitting here today, we've got about 26,000 paid up card carrying members of our party. We want all of them to participate. So whether it's an acclamation or an election, we want as many of them who feel able to go to the identified station and participate in the process, because we want to be a mass political party. And then I know people make a lot of, I'm the candidate. Okay, well, we opened nominations. We offered for people. But in any human endeavor, you put your best foot forward. You put the person there that you believe will give you an advantage. And if you take a look at history, the CPP was formed by the late Osagyefo Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. He was their candidate. And indeed, he was their candidate several times. Number two, the NDC was founded by our former President Rawlings. He was the only candidate. And then even he sought to make and was successful in making the current President Rawlings the sole candidate for the 2000 election.
So for the PNC,
also, former President Liman, he was the only candidate. The issue is that our party, there were a number of us who founded it, but I find myself in a position where I'm the most visible face and the one that many people know in the country. So if you have a new party, that's looking for attention, that wants support, you put your best face forward. And that's what we've done, and our people are happy about it.
Before this stage, Dr. Ndum, you've had youth going around saying you for Ndum, and you were being presented as something that is coming out around Dr. Ndum. So it wasn't presented as if everybody should have the opportunity to also come forward.
Oh, but you know, I like competition. And you know, if you're going to compete, you take a look around,
mm-hmm.
and you try to make sure that you get an advantage, but get an advantage the right way. So I was out there with people, young people,
mm-hmm.
men and women who were rooting for me, who were talking for me, who were speaking for me, so that when the time comes, then the people will know that there's an obvious choice.
Mm-hmm.
That is what you do. And indeed, that is what we are all doing who want to become president.
So you believe the competition was much more in the CPP that you left to have this present movement?
Oh, my friend, why do you want to take me back?
Just compare.
Why do you want me to take
you? You are talking about
It is history, but
yeah.
I will tell you, if I was in the CPP today, there will be no contests. They know that if I'm sitting there, okay, because I had done my homework, because I had been with the people, because I'd been encouraging them and supporting them. Through many elections, I supported parliamentary candidates and did all sorts of things for the people. Definitely, it wouldn't be an issue for me at all.
So
but that is history.
25,000 people card-bearing and paid up.
We have 26,000 card-carrying and paid-up members of our party.
Amadou Dépé.
Well, it varies.
Mm-hmm.
But when I say it varies, if you pay more, it doesn't give you any better or more privileges.
But can you tell us the range?
Oh yeah, we have some people that have paid 1,000 Ghana cedis and over to be a member, because they all know we need money to fund this party. Some have paid 500 Ghana cedis and above. Others have paid 100 Ghana cedis and above. But the regular membership fee is 1 Ghana cedi.
Yes.
And so the 1 Ghana cedi, the 1,000 Ghana cedi, you know, people, they have the same privileges as anyone, except that we know different people have different abilities to pay.
Yes.
So it's a range. And we are happy that people are willing. And indeed, if you go to our office right now as we're speaking, you'll find that we have some four young people who will probably work until about 10 or 11 tonight trying to process the applications for membership, because it is exciting.
Yeah. So sorry to take you back a little, because we use history to judge the progress we are
Absolutely.
Making. So it's always very important we go back there. When you were the presidential candidate in the last elections, we're made to understand that anywhere you go to, there were card-bearing members showing it up and all. But unfortunately, it appears it didn't reflect later in the elections.
Well, there are many different things that happened in 2008 that a number of us have learned from. There were mistakes made, many of us have learned from. So we will not go there again. We will not visit that experience again. This is something new. This party is so united. It is so peaceful. It's so purposeful that when we sit together, you have people I've never met before, never thought would be part of politics, and it's wonderful that we are all engaging in a productive way.
So you believe the previous debacle won't repeat itself?
Well, once again, it's a new party with its own new experience. And I'll give you another example of something that I'm experiencing that is new for me. That is, people who are competing to become parliamentary candidates for a party that is not in power, and that has not tasted power in this Fourth Republic. And some of it amazes me. We had to stop one election today in one constituency in the central region because the heat was getting to be too much. So we're going to set a new date for the contestants to go and do so peacefully, because we want peace in our party.
Good. You've spoken about what will make you become the president.
Yes.
And one of the things you are talking about is the fact that government is talking about, in its own terms, unprecedented achievements of the president. But you seem to drill a lot of holes into that unprecedented achievement.
Well, you know,
what is your problem with it?
Well, in any country, you know, in any organization, wherever, even in any business, the people who are stakeholders in it must feel whatever results the leadership say that they have accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And as I keep saying, it was the famous Bob Marley who said that he who feels it knows it. So if somebody comes and says that we have created so many jobs, well, do the people feel it or not? And the people are saying we don't feel it. When somebody comes and says that we have done so much in energy and day in and day out, lights in, lights out, and factories are closed, well, the people say we don't feel it. When somebody comes and says, I've done so much for education, but the results in the BECE examination in 2011 shows the worst result in the past 10 years, 46% pass rate, okay, which is adding up to the over 1.5 million Ghanaian children that abruptly stopped the education at the BECE level in the past 10 years. So when you go through all of these things and somebody says, oh, I've done well, but the people say, we don't feel it. We are disappointed. There's opportunity. And so we are looking at that as opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But opportunity doesn't mean that the people would necessarily come and vote for us, which is also what we are saying to the MPP people, that because people are saying that they are disappointed, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to go back to the MPP. Because, you know, in Ghana, there's been this political football. And so NDC and MPP feel and believe that if it is not one, it will be another. We are saying it is time to break that mold. And it is time for something different. It is time for a positive alternative, which is the Progressive People's Party. And we want to do it by being disciplined in what we say. By showing people not just our words, but our deeds. So that we will not sit in the back there somewhere and push our children to go out there and go and cause mayhem anywhere or go quarrel or throw debt at people unnecessarily. We are focusing on the solutions that we have for the problems that people have. And so we're saying in the case of energy, I want Ghanaians to understand that should Papa Kwesi Indom Ejimura become the president of this republic, the energy matter will be dealt with a sense of urgency, because the solutions, they have been on the table before. I've been an energy minister before.
Yes, and some
okay.
will say that they didn't have all the solutions way back then.
Can you remember when I was energy minister? Can you tell me that you went through this experience when I was an energy minister? Definitely not.
I'll come back okay. to you, because we have joining us on the line now, Kwaku Anyiduhu. Kwaku Anyiduhu is with the government. So we've listened to what you said, and perhaps we'll pick a bit of it and go to him on the line.
Those NDC people who think they have won already, let them think again. Those NDC people who think that if the people don't like NDC, they will come for them, let them think again. Because the Progressive People's Party is here. All of us, we know about the story in the Bible of David and Goliath. And some people say that in Ghana, we have two Goliaths in politics. One Goliath is called Goliath NDC.
Yes.
And the other Goliath is called Goliath MPP. Now, just as happened in the Bible, today we have a David.
Yes.
And the David is called the Progressive People's Party. And as the Goliath keep going around and thinking that the earth is theirs, thinking that the people belong to them, David PPP, is working, is thinking smart, is doing all the right things, is going from village to village, from community to community. And so as happened in the Bible, so shall it happen on this earth called Ghana. That David will emerge victorious against Goliath. You can't come and tell us that something unprecedented has happened in this country in the past 3 years, when over the past 10 years, The worst BECE examination result happened in 2011 on the watch of President Atta Mills. You can't tell us that that is unprecedented. If it is unprecedented, then it is unprecedented failure. We want them to know. Send them a message. Send them a message. And we are telling Ghanaians, tomorrow the sun will shine.
Thank you.
Tomorrow the sun will shine. Tomorrow the sun will shine, because we are awake.
Behind the News, live on Radio Ghana and reaching you on all our regional FM stations. Dr. Park is in Doom's voice there. He's with us here in the studio, but for now, we are going to the line. Koku Anidoho is Director of Communications at the Presidency. Good evening and welcome, sir.
Good evening.
Kingsley? Yes.
Yeah, Kingsley, sorry. Good evening, Kingsley.
Yes, you heard what Dr. Ndum said, and talking about the achievements. These are his assertions.
Well, yeah, I mean, those are his assertions, and I guess he's entitled to them fairly so as a politician seeking political power. Well, he's entitled to those views, but whether those views hold sway is a different matter. Dr. Edouard may have put genuine concerns on the ground, but that also doesn't take away from the fact that unprecedented successes have been chalked. Of course, for him as a politician, he would want to sleep on the negative and never wake up to the positives. But when President talks about an unprecedented level of success, it is real. If you have had, and Dr. Park is interestingly is supposed to be a finance person. Not that he's supposed to. He's known to be a finance person. Has understanding of finance and economics. And so, if you have an inflation figure, which is at a single digit level for more than 20 months, is that not unprecedented? If you have a currency that is not running away from the other foreign exchange currencies for a long period, is that not unprecedented? If you have a GDP growth rate of 13.6 going to 14%, never happened in more than two decades, is that not unprecedented? If you are building two public universities within 3 years of taking office, isn't that unprecedented? The level of road infrastructure that is taking place all over the country, is it not unprecedented? If you are eliminating over 1,000 schools under trees within 3 years and turning them into brick and mortar facilities, is it not unprecedented? If you go to the Upper West region and you are getting 4 polyclinics coming up at the same time in Wuchewu, I think Hain, Ko, and another place at the same time, is it not unprecedented? If you go to Techiman Kenten and you have a nurses midwifery training school there in a matter of 1 year, is it not unprecedented? If you go to Takwa now, Takwa has a brand new regional hospital.
Mm-hmm.
Which was put up in 18 months. Isn't that unprecedented? So President Mills is not saying that I've moved Ghana into the heavenly realms or the celestial realms. But all the president is saying that in 3 years and wanting to compare to what happened in the 8 years preceding these 3 years, of which Dr. Ndum was a part of, it's true that some unprecedented things have happened.
Yes,
you may point to some unprecedented negative things, yes. But are you saying that the unprecedented positives have also not happened?
And so you acknowledge that it's not been all rosy.
President Mills is the first person to acknowledge. He's always said so. And that's the difference between President Mills and other leaders. I have never heard Dr. Park Kwesi Ndum, forgive me, ever once acknowledge that during his tenure in the MPP government, they got something wrong. They got something wrong.
I'll be putting that question to him.
Yes. On the contrary, what he has done is to want to take all the positives during the MPP regime to the extent that the MPP people even tend to come after him. And I think I must have even heard former President Kufu, I stand to be corrected, also go after Dr. Ndum vis-a-vis this Millennium Challenge thing, where it was like an I. What we are saying is that President Mills is the first person to admit that not everything has gone the way we would wish it had gone. But in spite of the challenges, in spite of the dire straits in which we met the economy, in spite of the asphyxiated nature of the economy, in 3 years we have moved in a very positive direction.
Koku,
and it's not. And when people talk about.
Koku, I would like to come back to you, but I want to pick a quick response from Dr. Kwesindum on the other issue you've raised. That when you are talking about achievements, does that mean you don't have any negatives at all, and it's relating it to when you served with the NPP?
No, but you see, when Koku started speaking, I said, I like this kind of discussion when we are trying to be objective, when we are presenting facts. When he was reciting the sorts of things that he says have happened, that is the way we should have political discourse, in a way that we will all show the kind of discipline and respect that is needed. But you see, remember when I was talking, I even referred you to Bob Marley, that it is he who feels it that knows it. It's not he who says it. And indeed, he talked about inflation. I am in the economics and finance world. I know the trend in inflation. There's no question that inflation has come down. The point of the fact of the matter is that there are a number of factors that can bring inflation down. But then when it comes down, we must ask ourselves, what positives has it added to the human beings in the country? When he talks about, you know, I think I would advise them to stop using the word unprecedented, because he used the word unprecedented to do with the exchange rate, the CD and the dollar and the foreign currencies. He should go back and check his figures, because I stare at them every day in my business. And indeed, unfortunately for them, and unfortunately for Ghana, the rate has done a reverse, and it is going to an 18-year low. No. Which is not good for all of us.
So
if we go on figures,
uh-huh.
Okay, we can do all sorts of magic with the statistics.
You do agree there's been some stability?
Oh, my friend, there are certain things that have happened. You see, when he talks about 1,000 schools on the trees removed, I've been to take a look at some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I say, would I do what they have done? And I'll say, definitely not. If somebody is under a tree, and so you go and build for that community a sixth classroom block, okay, for the NDC and for Koku, he will say, wonderful. I will say, not so fast, because what we want, they are comprehensive school compounds,
mm-hmm.
which we have described, which will do the job for Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are competing in this world.
You are using the word comprehensive. I'll come back to you to explain it very soon, since I'm with you in the studio. But we want to just remind you that it's still Behind the News. You are live across the whole country on all our regional FM stations. And we still have here Dr. Park Kwesindum live with us in the studio. Koku Anyudo is still on the line. Koku, you wanted to come in with a quick response.
Well, I think I must humbly appreciate the opening comments of Dr. Indum as regards the direction in which political discourse should be working.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that is the way we all want it to be, but I'm sure again that it will be difficult to find myself and Dr. Park Kwesindum converging on a number of issues.
You will never know.
His race are moving in a different direction. My race are also moving in a different direction. But at least we found common ground that, yes, President Mills at least has got certain things right. And that is what we are talking about. We haven't said that, or for that matter, President Mills is not saying that everything has happened in 3 years. Indeed, if Ghanaians should give Dr. Indum the mandate come 2012 and he's sworn in 2013 December, I'm sure by 2017 sorry, 2013 January. I'm sure by 2017 April, Ghanaians will still be demanding a lot more.
Yeah.
So let us acknowledge the humble beginnings. And as the Presby hymn says, acknowledge, I'll take the gifts he has bestowed and humbly ask for more.
Koku, before we let you go.
Let's take the gift
yes.
through God, President Moses has given us, and humbly ask God for more. Because the 6-unit classroom block, sir, with all due respect, sir, is much better and miles ahead than being under a tree and being at the mercy of the weather. So
we just want to move on. You know, yeah. I know the way you would like to describe this.
Yeah.
But President Moses is also reported to have stated in Dakar that he's not seeking blood-tainted power. If we have to put it bluntly, he's not calling for Pyrrhic victory. What accounted for this statement?
Well, the President took the opportunity to meet the Ghanaian committee in Dakar when he went for the investiture of President Macky Sall. And there's a lot that our brothers in the diaspora read on the internet, and they get alarmed. For those of us who are back home, maybe because we are close to the issues, we may not get as alarmed as our brothers out there. So it was during the interaction, and so issues of election, biometric registration, and all the stuff that they are reading on the net, some of the wild utterances from political leaders, and President was telling them that, look, they should rest assured, the election will come and go. As President of the Republic, he will ensure that there's a free, fair, and transparent election, and that he just wants to assure them that any political power that is tainted with blood is not the kind of political power that will lead to development. And for he, President Mills, he's not interested in that kind of political power. Hence, his strong commitment to ensuring that there's a level playing field, and also to protect the citizenry. And so, as Commander-in-Chief, he's not going to allow any group of persons to take the law into their own hands and then misbehave. So, it was within that context that the President made that statement.
But for you, what will it take to really ensure, because we've had a few trifles, even with registration, and sometimes you don't act, you are blamed.
Well, thank you. That is the problem, Kingsley. And that is where we find ourselves in a tight corner. One moment, the law enforcement agencies are working, institutions of state are working, and some of your own colleagues in the media are up in arms. Oh, now we saw your idea, your Chini Party Co police station. And now we saw your idea, your court. Say we the NSA. In the next 2 minutes, the same people are now another police force and more NSA. So, what do we do as a nation? And I think that sometimes when we get the opportunity, that's what we should use the airwaves for. But like, to answer your question directly, I'm sure you've seen the police IGP go around trying to do what he has to do. It's about strengthening the institutions of state to work. And so if President Mills is saying that he will ensure violence-free election and make sure that the country continues to remain peaceful and united after the election, it's about strengthening institutions. Mm-hmm. It may not necessarily be about the president being a Rambo and going down there to go and crack the whip. But it's about strengthening the institutions of state to work.
We want to thank you very much for your time. Maybe we need to get you into the studio one of these days too.
Yes, and congratulations. Yes, let me say congratulations personally to Dr. Pakwesi Ndum on his endorsement. I don't know whether they've now decided to join the NDC. We were doing endorsement way back in 1998. So, a young party is also doing endorsement. We are waiting. You are waiting to see.
The young shall grow. That is the beginning stages. Thank you very much. Koku Anido is Director of Communications at the Presidency, joining us on the line there. But we still have with us Dr. Pakwesi Ndum. Before you even make any comment at all, how do you describe the political discourse, especially when we get people from different sides and they must talk about the issues even as we mention them?
Well, you know, the Progressive People's Party, we have put out on several occasions that politics is something meant for serious people. It's a serious endeavor. When you are in power, you can do things that benefit positively millions and millions of Ghanaians, but when you slip up, it also affects negatively the lives of millions and millions of people. So serious people must do it. But politics and public service is something honorable. Mm-hmm. Honorable. And therefore, we must do it in a disciplined, respectful manner and talk about the kinds of things that will inure positively to the benefit of Ghanaians.
Yeah.
So, what, you know, we say that we don't like what has been happening. We don't like what has been going on.
That is the acrimonious
and
discussions.
Yes, and the unnecessary aggressiveness, and the insults, and the personal attacks, and so on and so forth. And you know, I want to take you, you took me back to 2008. Let me take you back to 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Because some terrible things happened during the election in 2008. Where, if you even went to Gusegu, in the northern region, where even the NDC chairman there, his vehicles were burnt. A chief was shot dead. Many people were shot dead. And you know that I was the only candidate then to undertake the trip to Gusegu and to go and calm fears of people, to give them a little something and to say to them that, well, to the NDC chairman, that I may not be your party member, but you are Ghanaian. I feel for you. Okay, we must, by our actions, show to people that we belong together as Ghanaians. And when we disagree, let us disagree over solutions. Okay, so that, as we were talking about, Koko Anyiraho says that, well, if they've gone from under the trees to a 3, 4, 5, 6 classroom block, it's great. I am saying I disagree. Because a few days ago, I was watching television, and a village in China, built a magnificent school, comprehensive school, everything in it. And all the little children were sitting behind computers. Now, these are children our children are going to compete with. So if we don't hurry up and provide them with the facilities that are needed and find the money to fund those things, when are we going to catch up?
You are talking about
those
raising money and even doubling our income as a country.
Absolutely.
How are you going to do it?
Look, there are a number of things that we can do in this country, and some of them are foundation elements. We have started in this country a national identification project, which is one that should bring discipline in our society so that if from birth until you die, we know who you are. So if you don't pay tax, we know who you are. If you go and put money in an account from somewhere we don't know, we know who you are. If you go and cause an accident somewhere, we know who you are.
If you don't have work you don't pay the tax,
we know who you are.
You know how to bring back to that person.
Absolutely.
You've done nothing.
So all of the things that we're talking about, we're saying that you must bring discipline to the society by strengthening institutions the right way. That is a project that if we do it very well, we will find that we indeed, we have the sorts of monies, because there will not be waste. There will not be people stealing unnecessarily from the government coffers, and so on and so forth. Secondly, we've got the revenue agencies in Ghana. You go and compare the equipment and facilities that they are using with the ones that they're using in South Africa, or in Mauritius, or in Botswana. So when we keep saying strengthening institutions, I am saying to you, if we strengthen them well enough, we are leaving so much money on the table that we can go and grab and fund our activities.
Good.
And then also, we've just, a few years ago, passed the new pensions law. The new pensions law, if we implement it with a sense of urgency, which I would do if I were president, we will find that what has been missing in our system, long-term capital, okay, will be found in the system. That is what is going to fund a number of our enterprises so they can become bigger, so that they can employ more, so we can raise more revenue. And then I keep talking about, one of these days, somebody will come and talk about using the state's purchasing power to support our Ghanaian industries and our Ghanaian private sector. So far, no one has talked about that.
Yeah.
I am putting this firmly on your table. That's one way of raising revenue.
Incorruptible leadership.
Absolutely.
You believe in God.
You know, absolutely. My faith is important. My faith as a Christian. Not to say that if you're Muslim, you're not good. My faith as a Christian makes me respect people of different faith.
I'm asking because
but
when
the
we
point
say
about
incorruptible,
when we talk about incorruptible leadership, we are quick to add that we are human beings, but we must set a standard.
Mm-hmm.
And our standard is incorruptible leadership. Incorruptible leadership, number one, is not afraid to strengthen institutions. Incorruptible leadership in Ghana today means that Papa Kwesi Indom, as president, will separate the office of Attorney General from that of the Minister of Justice, so that the Minister of Justice advises the presidency that the Attorney General is independent.
Will you have full control over the lower echelons?
When you say the lower echelons...
Yes,
you,
of your authority.
When, of,
you won't be there alone, assuming you are there.
When let's define lower authorities. Are you talking about the districts, district assemblies?
What really goes down as authority?
But you see, you show by example.
Mm-hmm.
By example. You know, I am saying that the President of the Republic of Ghana by Constitution is not supposed to pay tax.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how do you show leadership if our Constitution says the President should not pay tax?
Mm-hmm.
I will fight as President. I will fight to remove that provision for our Constitution, because I should be coming to the people every year, at the end of the year, and say that, me, your president, I have paid tax, and therefore all of you go and pay tax. So it shouldn't be by word of mouth, it should be by our actions. And we are saying that the Progressive People's Party will act with a sense of urgency.
Dr. Parker Sindhu, you know, even the signals I'm getting from the studio indicates that we are running out of time with you, but we'll fix another date.
Absolutely.
And get to chat.
Absolutely.
And I'll get the others represented so that we see how best we tie it in with that material.
And I'll be very happy if you can get Nana Akufo-Addo, President Mills.
We'll be making it
so that Papa Kwesi Indom
Bijumura
can deal with everybody one on one.
I'm praying out to them directly on their efforts have been made. For a long time, it's been quite difficult. Thank you so much. Dr. Park Kwesi Indom has just been confirmed as the presidential candidate of the Progressive People's Party. Behind the news, you are live from Radio Ghana here in Accra and also across the globe on gbcghana.com. Well, it is still politics. It can be described as the usual game in an election year where government will like to hype its achievements with the opposition saying nothing has been done. As the NDC talks about what it has managed to do over the past 3 years, the opposition MPP has been raising doubts and calling it propaganda. The average observer will be the one to decide. But what has been the bone of contention between the two leading parties? How are they touching on the lives of the average Ghanaian? Fifi Kwete is the Deputy Minister of Finance and Economic Planning and has been active in drawing attention to the achievements. He's joined us on the line. You are welcome, Fifi. Hello, Fifi. We seem to have a little challenge with Fifi, but let's move on. The MPP has been raising the doubt. Samuel Abu-Jinapor is an aide to the MPP presidential candidate. I guess we are fortunate to have him. You are welcome, Abu.
Thank you very much, and a very good evening to you and your cherished listeners.
I guess you were earlier monitoring the discussions we had, the use of unprecedented, and also pointing to what government has achieved over the past 3 years. You seem to have a big challenge with it. Why?
Well, first of all, let me make the point that when you listen to our friends from the other side, particularly the Honorable Fifi Kwete in their so-called setting the record straight, you cannot help but arrive at the conclusion that these government officials are obviously cocooned in the corridors of their air-conditioned offices. They are not in touch with the ordinary Ghanaian. They are not on the streets. They, for example, do not know that as we speak now, many Ghanaians who are into, for example, welding, you know, cannot have their business progress because of their persistent power outages. They cannot, for example, appreciate the young lady in Bunkugu Yoyo who gets her daily bread through saloonin, who cannot do business because there's been persistent power outages. I think they cannot appreciate the realities on the ground. And it reminds me of the historical events in France in 1777, when the people were so fed up with the monarchical system, and the king, being very oblivious of the realities of the time, told his attendants that go and give them cheese and cake. He could not imagine what was happening on the streets of France, and that resulted in the mammoth revolution in France.
Abu, do you also believe in the statement that opposition will always see nothing? So in the long run, it is also normal for opposition to speak that way to government?
It's not about opposition or government. It's not about MPP or NDC. It's about the issue where, as we speak now, in northern Ghana, public secondary schools were being threatened with their closure because government had not been able to release feeding grounds to public secondary schools in northern Ghana. It's about the issue where the president, for example, in the State of the Nation address, did indicate that more than 300 megawatts of energy have been generated in the first 3 years of his administration. And yesterday, the whole nation was astonished to hear the Deputy Minister of Energy in the government of the president also intimate that about 150 megawatts of energy have been generated in a 3 years administration.
Don't you think of utility force as a system?
Force majeure. We've asked this question over and over again. Sifikwete talks about boreholes, he talks about schools under trees and all of those. We are not even about to contest the figures, but the real argument that you will ensue in respect of boreholes and schools under trees should be a comparative analysis between the MPP's administration and the NDC's administration vis-a-vis which one of the administrations have been able to construct more schools than the other.
Okay, Abu, I'll come back to you as you raise those concerns. We have Fifi Kwete now joining us on the line. You are welcome, Fifi.
Hi, good evening to you and to all your listeners.
That's a concern of Abu, and naturally reflecting what MPP has been talking about in raising doubts about the achievements. What do you see?
You can see clearly our friends in the MPP obviously cannot stand the truths that are coming out. So what they are doing now, they are basically doing what you call shifting the goalposts. All right. Initially, their point was to try to denounce what we are saying as not true. Now they are conceding that the things we are putting now are the fact. So now what they are trying to do is now let's shift the goalposts. It's not about that you have done better. We know it's obvious that you have done better than us in terms of this infrastructure. But you know what? In spite of the fact that you have infrastructure, there is still difficulty. Listen, there are difficulties still in China. Even though China has had vast improvement in their economy over the last 20, 25, 30 years, there are still difficulties. There are still people in China today who are struggling to make ends meet. There are people in America who are struggling to make ends meet. So it's not about the fact that there are no difficulties in Ghana. That's not the point. The point has to do with this, that you have been given an opportunity as a government in 4 years, 2001 to 2004. The people of Ghana committed their resources to you. And they are asking you, listen, if in 4 years that you were in power, you were unable to do what your other colleague, given 4 years, in fact, given 3 years, have been able to do, then those people clearly have done better than you. Now, to say that, okay, welders in Ghana today are having problems because of power outage, and therefore, that will not be the first time there's power outage in Ghana. I mean, was in this country in the whole of 2006, 2007, when literally we went for several months of power outages, where effectively nothing was happening in terms of energy? We are not having several months of power outages. There are difficulties we acknowledge, but that exactly is what government is about, meeting challenges and resolving those challenges. I'm not even finished.
Let me raise one issue that maybe you can speak to. Yes. They are talking about the fact that even when you talk about roads and what has been done in that sector, the real critical economic roads, such as the Nsoman bypass to Apeja, is still a problem.
Isn't it very funny? First and foremost, we're talking about a group of people who in 4 years cannot mention one road completed, one major road completed. They can't mention one. You ask them, you push them to it, they just lie to you. Oh, we completed Accra Capos. That's a blatant lie because that road was not completed until the end of 2006. In 2007, effectively, it has been. Now, you're talking about, we are not completing some Apeja. Oh, I see. You actually spent 8 years. And in your 8 years, you set a process in place to construct major roads. And you don't even have a secure funding for it. You understand what I'm saying? Let me give you an example. Listen. While we've come to power, okay, let's say, for example, the construction of the Akachi to Akano Road, we secured African Development Bank money for it, and we've been able to accomplish that in 3 years. The Akachi to Aflau Road, we secured African Development Bank money, and that's what we are able to do. You have the whole government set up four major roads, and they don't even have any secure funding.
I'll come back to you. Fifi, please hold on.
By the grace of God, road construction. And then another government comes, and we now look for money to do these major roads. And you even are talking about that we have not completed.
Fifi, I'll come back to you. Let Abu respond to it.
If they are not deserving, it's $750 million. If the $750 million that they went to collect, they did not use it to dissipate on locomotives and buying a prepaid meter and totally wasting the money on the people of Ghana. They would have had enough money to have done.
I'll come back to you, Fifi. Please hold on the line. Let me bring in Abu to respond. Abu, he's talking about the fact that it's 4 years comparison, and yes, there might have been some achievements in the MPP regime, but it crossed the first term.
Well, you can always admire Honorable Fifi Kwesi for his eloquence, but clearly he has not stated anything concrete to back the claim that his government has done unprecedented achievements. And it's sad. It's a very pathetic moment for our country to hear ministers justify the sad occurrences of our time because it happened before. We had power outages in 2007. For Christ's sake, 4 years down the line, a minister of state is squeezed as to why we are having power outages today, and his justification and his response is that it happened in 2007 and so it is okay today. I feel sad for our country. I feel sad for the economy of our country. I think that the Ghanaian people deserve a government that works with agency. The Ghanaian people deserve a government that can improve on their lot, that will not be comparing 2012 to 2007. Having said that, Fifi Kwesi himself talked about unprecedented achievement in agriculture. When in 2008, GDP growth, agriculture's contribution to our GDP was 7.8%. Today, under President Milton's administration, 2011, GDP, agriculture's contribution to GDP was about less than 3%. He talks about fisheries. Fisheries, in 2008, it was 17%. Today, we're talking about 1.8%. We're talking about a situation, my brother, today. We're talking about a situation where across the length and breadth of our country, any objective-minded Ghanaian who interrogates the prices of goods and services cannot arrive at any conclusion but to state that the prices of everything in our country is going up and up and up. And finally, let me make this very quick point. And I've posed this question to Honorable Fifi Kwesi before. I've posed it to almost every functionary of the Mills Mahama administration. We've not gotten an answer. They talked about unprecedented this. They should tell us one policy. We are not talking about two. We're talking about one, Guda, Bako, that the Mills Mahama administration itself conceived, brought forth, and have developed and is gotten to a certain level that is benefiting the Ghanaian people. They cannot mention any.
We can leave you here for now. You've raised the question. Let me get him to respond. Thank you so much, Samuel Abu Jinapo, A2 MPP presidential candidate. But Fifi Kwesi, you are still on the line. It's raising. If you can respond to the last point that he came in with.
I listen to him. The man clearly is struggling. He's struggling because, you know what, in 4 years, they have nothing to show. All right? Now, he says, well, there are problems in Ghana. Yeah, there are problems in Ghana. That's where Prof. Mills has been working very hard. That in spite of the difficulties, we can resolve those problems by and by. You don't construct a nation in a day. You don't resolve every problem within the space of 3 years. So the people of Ghana understand, but they know we are working hard. Are we not working hard? If today we can point to the Dansoma Highway as a road that is being done, almost finished. If we can talk to the Spinters Road that we have absolutely transformed. We can talk to the bypass, the Polo bypass through the Spinters Road. We can talk about East Legon Road and Ajingano Road. We can talk about Teshi Road. We can talk about putting an asphalt road in front of Nana Kufuor's residence all the way to Accra Girl. In 8 long years, did they ever do that? What about the transformation of the roads in Tema? Did they ever do that in 8 long years?
But can you talk about the policy too?
Listen, you talk about agriculture. You know, the funny thing is this. These same people are questioning the inflation figures in the country and actually wanted to call into question the integrity of the statistical service. The truth of the matter is this. The reason why inflation in Ghana has remained single digits, okay, for the past 22 months is because of the performance in agriculture. It is because of the good performance in agriculture. That's why the food basket, in terms of the price index for food, has not gone up.
Is that same area that people are raising some concerns that the city is beginning to slide?
Which one?
In recent times, the city.
Which one? No. But in last year, in 2011 as well, there were moments where the city had difficulties. That is what happened. You don't jump to conclusion in March. You wait for final year, then you give the full picture. That's why when you mentioned that, for example, they're talking about 2011 performance in agriculture, asking whether he's talking about full figures or he's talking about provisional figures. You don't have a clue because the full figures will be released sometime in May. But you see, we are talking about people who even the understanding of the subject is they don't really understand the subject matter well. But unfortunately, they have to argue a bit.
We'll get you seated with one other economist from the area to look at the issues one by one so that at least we
we get to dig much, much
deeper. No, I can bet you there's no way they will be able to
We'll fix the date and see.
Because they cannot match.
We'll certainly fix the date. Thank you so much for your time. Sifi Kwete is Deputy Minister of Finance and Economic Planning on the line. Behind the news, you are getting us live on Garden City Radio and also on Twin City and Radio Central. Behind the news, you are getting us live on Radio Ghana here. Some of your tests. John from UCC saying, congrats, Dr. Indum. Do you know that most of the young men following you are opportunists? Oh, a big question, unfortunately, is not here to respond. But Baba Musa UDS is also saying, if Dr. Indum wants to be credited with projects like MIDA, then he must be equally prepared to share the failures of the MPP. And Baba Musa is still saying, Dr. Indum should stop being overly excited because elections go beyond the mere name of a party. And from Bongo Mampon, Parkwes Indum is the best among all candidates. We'll come back to more of your tests very soon. But assessment of the biometric registration process so far has been varied, ranging from those who have had challenges with long queues, technical equipment failure, to those who had it without hitches. However, it is largely agreed that apart from the initial technical hiccups and slow process of collecting biodata of prospective voters, the exercise has been successful, but not without security breaches. The Ghana Police Service today met with the Electoral Commission behind closed doors to discuss how to deal with security issues for the rest of the registration exercise. Behind the news is finding out more as to how these security concerns can be catered for as we enter the next phase of the registration exercise. And joining us on the line is COP John Kudalo, and he is the Director General of Police in charge of operations. You are welcome, sir, to the program.
Thank you, my brother.
Naturally, you've done an assessment of the first phase. From your security perspective, how do you see it?
We feel we've done well, but there's still room for improvement in that for the early stages have some initial hiccups, which I think slowed down the process, and then also there's some intimidation. But when we got into full gear from the second day, things started improving, and by each day it got better and better till the end of the first phase. I want to cling on to that standard and try to improve upon it.
Yes.
After our closed door meeting with the EC today.
We've had reports of attacks on even those registering in some parts of Ashanti, Buna, Hafu, and even Greater Accra here. How is the police dealing with the issue?
Yes, these reports have been made. Unfortunately, we've not got anybody right-handed, neither have the people involved come to report to us to make any formal complaint.
In a Taifa incident, we heard about an arrest and even prosecution.
Yes, that one, our men met them in the act.
Mm-hmm.
And they were there, and there they were trying to molest, intimidate the electorate, but not the officials. Mm-hmm. And there are other cases where people have been arrested for trying to register while they're not qualified under the registration regulations and laws. They have been sent to court. And if you've been following the papers, mm-hmm. the 3 or 4 convictions have been so far been made.
Yeah. Some are saying that because this is not a major election or an election per se that takes only a day, you cannot deploy all your men to all centers at once. But what do you do to make them readily available in case of any mishap?
Yes, you know, that's why the fact that people are evaluating, as you are saying, or assessing that way, we see it differently. Whereas we know that this part of the world, the election is won from the registration day. Because the more people you get to register from your faction, the better your chances. And there's the probability of misunderstandings and challenges and that. So we went to the drawing board and drew up our operational plan, which we sent to our regional commanders to employ to in this letter and spirit. But unfortunately, from the onset, there was this communication gap. Mm-hmm. Taking for granted, as you just said, that is the normal registration that we've done over the years. Where security will not be so paramount. But as the days rolled by, we saw that even from the first day that it was wrong. It was a wrong assertion. So we've there, and we've mapped up the areas, determined the flash points, the vulnerable points, where we can put 1 or 2 men. And we are calling on board our colleagues from the sister security agencies. Because this is like a dressing rehearsal, because what is going on is likely the same thing is going to be repeated on the D-Day, so we have to start preparing for it, learning our lessons from it, so we are going to get on board.
So is there an assurance that for those who get to the polling stations or registration centers to register, will not face any challenge as it happened?
No, they wouldn't. If they would be, it would be far, far, far lesser. We cannot rule out, but it would be far, far, far lesser than what happened during the first phase. Because we are now geared up, we've seen our flaws, and we are bringing on board our sister security agencies. So I think we shall be, not in such as you need numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the numbers will shoot up geometrically, and we shall be able to deal with the situation.
Good. Can you say something came out of your meeting with the EC today that maybe you've not thought of earlier on?
Yes, I would say things came up. Since they were our host, I'll not be, it's only fine for me today, but we went there first to assess, as we just discussed, the first phase, the lessons we learned, and then some grey areas where we don't understand. You know, there were some areas where people were arrested and intimidating people, where it was not very clear. For example, whether you have to register at a place where you want to vote, no matter where you are hiding, or otherwise, and what you have to go through, and then also about the safety of the political business. We knew that it was put in a, how they call it,
you are now going to look at them very well for this week?
Yes.
Okay. This COP, John Kudalo, we want to thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you.
That's the Director General of Police in charge of operations. But John Lavi is with CODEL, the Coalition of Domestic Election Observers. He's on the line. Mr. Lavi, you are welcome.
Thank you.
Your assessment as we go into the next phase of the registration exercise.
Yes, it started well. We had a few problems. Throughout the country, where we have problems, we're actually in the minority of places. But the problems tended to be to catch the headlines, especially violence at certain registration centers in the regions that you just mentioned yourself. Now, that should not be it at all. A registration of voters should be a very routine, normal thing. We are not registering political party supporters. We are registering Ghanaians. I think that is what the Electoral Commission is doing. Those Ghanaians who are registered will decide later on when the election comes to vote for Party A or for Party B. So if problems are coming because political party agents go to the polling stations and force or influence people to register for them, they're not registering for political parties. They're registering as voters for Ghana. So that should be known by everybody. My problem, why this thing is happening, has to do with the absence of security, as we just discussed with Mr. Kudalo. The registration centers are not to be visited by just anybody. You have to be authorized before. Unfortunately, because you do not have police or security personnel there, people enter the registration center who are not registrants, who are not party agents, who are not observers, or who are not the press. And these are the people who just go and harass the registration officials and do all sorts of things that we now witness as a violent.
So now you believe policemen or security men should be detailed to all centers? Is that what you call for?
That is what would be ideal, but as you said, and as you all know, we cannot have the police be there in all the 3,000 stations at the same time, or even if a quarter of that. At for 10 days, we cannot have them. So there should be a way out. And the way out, as Mr. Kuta was talking about, is, you know, as soon as you have they have the report, and the report must be coming from us, from anybody who cares to solve these problems, the police, that
incredible
is happening. And then they will go and solve the problem.
Mr. John Lavi,
you are safe. Hello.
We are starting the next phase, and we'll get to talk to you as you look at what happens within that phase. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
John Lavi is a member of CODIL. They've been monitoring what has been happening so far. Behind the news, just before we go, Abdul Rahman from Bole is saying, Dr. Indum has won my heart. We need selfless leaders like him. And Akoto Razak, the 3 years of President Mills government on Greek education, health, energy sector is unprecedented, and NDC deserves a second term. And Abun Kudugu Bashiru Ashakwin, a student of Boku SHS, is saying NDC should stop creating problems if they will. If not, they will give MPP PAF to turn them down in 2012 election. And Nicholas Siedu Chinchenku, the PPP is on the road to the castle. So long live Dr. Indum, long live PPP members. And Aziz Don Lawa, Indum and the MPP should go back to the grassroots and reorganize. And Salman Faris, please ask Dr. Indum whether he still believes in Nkrumahism, his ideals and philosophy. We will get him later to ask about that. And Eric, a DGMC BA, ask Dr. Indum if the PPP is not a wing of the MPP. And I know he would have told you no. This is where we have to go. We want to thank so much our technical man, Ni Tekwayi, and production team of Christopher C. The Bright Agama, Felix Kofi, Agatha Samwa, John Pobi, and Jonathan Thompson, our summarizer. My name is Kingsley of Interest.